I heard this story about this husband and this wife. And the husband was always just constantly worrying about everything. I mean, just one of those nervous Nelly type of people. I don't know why Nelly got the bad rap for being nervous all the time, but and so one day the wife walks up to her husband and she's just like, "Hey, why are you worrying about all this stuff all the time? Like you're a nervous wreck. You have so much anxiety. What good does it do?" And the husband, he looked at his wife and he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. 99% of the things I worry about never happen." Yeah, and we chuckle at that, right? But here's the reality, is that that's us 99% of the time. Right? That's what we do. We worry about things. We get anxious about things, and 9 times out of 10, there was absolutely no reason to worry, no reason to be anxious whatsoever. And yet, okay, so I'm gonna start by being totally real and raw and transparent with you guys today. I'm an anxious person a lot. And I hide it well. I'm good at kind of playing off like, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not anxious about anything. But the truth of the matter is that on a daily basis, I am fighting with some level of worry or anxiousness about something in my life. And I don't think I'm the only one. I don't know every one of you. I'm not inside each one of your heads. But if I was a betting man, I would be willing to bet that right now, literally where you are sitting in this moment, there is something that you maybe walked in here with or you are thinking about right now that is making you anxious, that has you a little bit worried. And here's what's kind of crazy to me about that. We are living in the most affluent, comfortable culture. And I'm just talking about here, right here now in the United States of America where we live. We're living in one of the most affluent, comfortable cultures that has ever been, right? I mean, think about this with me for a second. I was thinking about this as I was planning this talk this week. 150 years ago, people did not have running water or indoor plumbing. I mean, we live in Western PA, right? Can you imagine having to go out to the outhouse in the middle of January? You want to talk about anxiety? Right? Like, we have it made. We have it made. There are so many things that we have now available to us that should make our lives way less anxious, way less worried, right? And yet, here's the issue. Here's the problem for me and what I'm seeing in our culture and our world. We are more anxious than ever. We're more worried than ever before. And the question that I have is why? I mean, when we have all the creature comforts, I mean, most of us are not worrying when we go to the refrigerator whether we have food or not. Many people are not worried about the basics of life that people probably were very worried about 150 years ago or more. And yet we're so anxious. Anxiety levels, worry levels seem to be higher than they've ever been before, myself included. The last year, and I know a lot of that has to do with the state of our world, but I feel like I've been more anxious than I ever have in my entire life. And if you're like me, there are those moments where that weighs heavy on you. And I know that there are some people in the room, and there may be some of you who are watching, tuning in with us virtually online, where that actually gets to the place where it's crippling, where the weight of that burden feels like you can't even breathe. And so we're starting a new series this week that we're calling Winning the War on Worry. Winning the War on Worry. Because as I think about this community of people, as I think about our world, you know what burdens me? You know what breaks my heart for you? Because I know what it does to me is you walking around with anxiety and worry and having it just totally jack up your life. Whether you realize it or not, and I think that's one of the craziest things about anxiety and worry is sometimes it's happening inside of us and we can't even pinpoint it. We don't even know why it's happening, but it is. And I don't want that for you. There is a better way. to go through life. Our Heavenly Father offers us something life-giving. He offers this freedom from that. You know, the truth is that there are a lot of resources out there about anxiety and worry. I mean, tons and tons. Like, we're living in the information age, right? You can go to Google and you can find just about anything you want on anxiety and worry and remedies, and we just go on and on and on. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with some of those resources. But this is the truth today. Those things are temporary management of our anxiety and our worry. That's the truth. All of those things that the world offers, that the world provides, it's a way to manage our worry and our anxiety, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Managing it is better than not managing it. But I've come to a place in my life through the study of God's word, listening to what God says about this whole issue of worry and anxiety, and I've come to a place where I don't want to just manage it anymore. I'm tired of managing it. I don't know, maybe you are too. I'm tired of trying to manage my worry and my anxiety when God tells us that there is an answer for this, that we can have complete freedom from our anxiety and worry, as crazy as that sounds. We can. And so that's where we're going today. That's where we're going over the next few weeks. We're going to look at God's word. We're going to look at his truth. We're going to look at what he says about what worry is, what anxiety is, how to handle it, how to deal with it. Because I know this, every one of us is guilty of this. We are all in some way or another worrying and having anxiety about something. And my kind of question to us is, as we start this, is what if we could walk away from this and for the first time in our lives have the burden of that lifted? Can you imagine what life would be like with no worry and no anxiety? Believe it or not, it is possible. And so today we're going to be starting with what I believe is the foundation. We're going to look at the most foundational passage of scripture in God's word on this issue of worry, spoken by the man himself, Jesus Christ. Many of you have probably read this particular passage of scripture that we're going to read today before. It's very, very common. It's well known. If you have grown up in the church, you've read it before. But I really want to unpack this today, talk about just the kind of the nuances of what Jesus meant when he told us, do not worry. We're actually going to be in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. If you have a Bible, I strongly encourage you, open that with us. The words will be up on the screen. If you do not have a Bible, please let us know. We have free Bibles. We love handing them out. We love getting people into the Word of God. We believe nothing will change your life more than you reading that on a daily basis. But today we're going to start in Luke chapter 12. Now, before we get into this teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples, we got to have some context. Context is so critical. This is so important. Whenever you're reading God's word, understand the context, the historical context, what was happening before this passage that we're going to read. And so Jesus has just gotten done teaching his disciples this parable about this very wealthy man who spent his entire life storing up as much as he possibly could in his silos and his barns, right? Storing up, storing up, storing up. And then all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere, poof, he's gone. And what Jesus tells him is you can spend your whole life working and building up and spending all of your time and energy and resources building for this life, storing up, he uses this language, storing up your treasure here, or you can spend your time, you can spend your life storing up your treasure in heaven. You can keep your mind focused on where your eternity is going to be, where you're going to be forever. In other words, what he's sharing with them is this: guys, listen, stop worrying so much about this life. Focus more on the life that is to come. Focus more on the kingdom. And as he tells them this, I imagine if it's me, okay, now maybe you guys are different than me, but as Jesus is sharing that with me, I'm sitting there listening to him, keying in on every word he says. My first thought is, okay, Jesus, you're telling me not to worry about what I'm going to eat and, you know, buying money or buying clothes with my money and, like, don't store that stuff up. Just, you know, Don't stress about it. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, well, how in the world am I supposed to live? Like, the anxiety is starting to well up in me. Okay, if I'm just giving it all away and I'm not worrying about any of it. And so Jesus knows this. He senses this, I believe. He knows exactly the struggle that each of us in our humanness has, right? He's a human being. He's 100% God, but he's also a human being. He gets this. He understands how our hearts and our minds work. And so he launches in to what I believe is maybe one of the most important truths for us in this day, in this anxious, worry-filled society that we are living in. And this is what I want to dive into today. So this is how Jesus starts. He's basically saying, guys, I know you're worried. I know you're anxious. I know you don't understand where your next meal is even going to come from, maybe. But let me teach you something that will change your life. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And so he gives them this explicit command right off the bat. What does he say? Do not worry. Do not worry. Now that word worry in the English, it actually comes from this old German term. And you know what it means? To strangle or choke. Now, I don't know about you, again. I've never had what I would call a full-on, like, panic attack. I can admit that. I've never had that. But I've definitely felt that pressure, right? Where I was right on the verge of feeling like I can't breathe. That's what worry is. It chokes you. It strangles you. And if you're sitting in the room today, if you're watching today, and you've ever had a panic attack, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It literally feels like the air is being sucked out of you, like the life is being sucked out of you. And so Jesus is saying, listen, stop letting your life be controlled to the point of feeling like you are strangled and being choked. It is so unhealthy for you, to the point where there are actually physical consequences that come from stress and anxiety and worry. Right? It has a physical impact. It's not just about our spirit. It actually ends up having a physical impact on our body, on our brains. There's something that happens to us when we begin to worry, when we are letting anxiety control our lives. And what he's saying is not even the most basic things. What does he say not to worry about? He says, don't worry about what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. He's saying, don't even worry about the most basic of things. Now, again, back then, they were probably worried from one day to the next whether or not they were going to have a meal. Most of these guys, they had one set of clothing. Like, I go to my closet now and I have, I don't even know how many shirts and how many pairs of pants. I can't tell you, right? This is not a modern day worry for us, right? Because we're living in this comfortable, affluent culture that we're living in. But I believe if Jesus were here today and he were talking to us, this is the first time he was saying it to this culture in this context, you know what he'd be saying? Guys, don't worry about anything. Nothing. Not your 401k, and how much you're going to have when you retire. Not whether or not you're going to have your job tomorrow. Not whether or not your relationship that you're in right now is going to be the one, right? We could go on and on and on with all of the kind of contextual things that Jesus might say to us today. Do not worry. That is the main point. And what he's really trying to get us to understand, he's trying to, in this first part, shift our perspective, shift our understanding of something. And this is profoundly important for the rest of this series when we talk about worry. That life is not about this life. That it is not about this world. And this is one of the great spiritual kind of challenges that we face when we come to faith, when we begin to follow Jesus, is kind of letting go of the things of this world and focusing on the kingdom of God, on the life that is to come. right? What Jesus is trying to say to these guys is this: start shifting your focus, start shifting your perspective from the here and now to what is to come. You see, and this might be hard for some of us to hear. Because I think in our culture, a lot of times we look at worry and we look at anxiety as something that can't be controlled. And I do believe it can get to a place where it gets out of control and it's no longer, you are literally no longer in control of it. But Jesus says, do not worry. He's calling this out. He's telling us not to. If he's telling us not to worry, that means that it is possible not to worry. He wouldn't tell us to do something if it wasn't possible. And so we have to come to this acceptance, and I have to, in my own life, I have to come to this acceptance that worry is a sin. It's a sin, and we're going to talk about why it's a sin. And that's hard. That's hard for me because sometimes I just want to be like, no, it's not a sin. It's okay for me to worry. It's okay for me to have anxiety about this thing. According to Jesus, okay, don't shoot the messenger. He says, do not worry. That means it is possible not to worry. And now he says, let me show you why. He goes on, he says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? So first things first, he says, do you know who your father is and how much he values you? Do you really understand that? Because it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus and that he saved me from my sins. But do you understand deep down to your very core how valuable you are to God? He uses this illustration of birds, right? Ravens. Ravens were considered dirty. They were considered gross animals. And what Jesus, and that's important here. Okay, these weren't the choice animals of the day, right? He says, these dirty, scummy birds that nobody on this planet cares about, God feeds them. He takes care of them every single day. They want for nothing. They don't have to reap or sow. They're not worried about where their next meal comes from. Why? Because God provides for them daily. And so this is the analogy, and this is powerful. You and I, so much more valuable to God than birds, than ravens. So much more valuable. He loves us with an everlasting love. And what God loves, God takes care of. What he loves, he takes care of. And it might not always feel like that when we're going through difficult things that we want to be anxious and worry about, but he does. He loves us. He values us. I have a couple of different guitars. I'm a guitar player. And the very first guitar that I ever got was actually my wife's grandmother's guitar. And it was this beat up old Martin knockoff. It wasn't even like a real Martin. It's a junky guitar. It's not a nice guitar. This is the guitar that I learned on. It actually has a giant hole in the side of it now because we let somebody borrow it one time and it just fell off the little stand it was on and got this hole in it, right? I also have a 2004 50th anniversary Fender Stratocaster. And that guitar is my pride and joy. I love her, and I do mean her. I love my Strat. And let me tell you the difference in the way that I interact with these two guitars. The beat up old Martin, I throw in a closet. I'm like, whatever. I don't care what happens to it. It's already got a giant hole in it, right? My Fender Strat, she goes in a hard shell case. She, notice, goes in a hard shell case. She gets waxed lovingly. She gets new strings on a regular basis. You better believe if you want to borrow her, you better know what you're doing with a guitar. I need to know who you are. Like when you come to the door, Dad's going to be like, you better bring her home by midnight, right? That's how I treat my Fender Stratocaster. What's the difference? I value one of those things tremendously. The other one, it's just a thing. Now I want to take it a step further. I love my Fender Strat, and I take care of it as much as I possibly can, But my son? My wife? That's a whole nother level, right? That's a whole new level of love and affection and care and value. I will do anything. I wouldn't die for my Strat. Come on, that's crazy. It's a guitar. I can get another one. I would die for my son. I would die for my wife, right? When God looks at us, he looks at us with these eyes of just, wow, you are so valuable to me. You think I'm going to let anything happen to you? I'm your father. I'm never going to let anything happen to you. And even if we go through some really difficult things in this life, ultimately, he says, I got your back. I sent Jesus for you. I sent him to the cross to die for you so that ultimately one day you're good to go. That's how much I value you. That's how much I love you. Number one, do you know how much your father loves you and values you? But he doesn't stop there. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? He says, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So he says, first of all, don't worry, because your father loves you. He values you. He's going to take care of you. Second of all, he says, recognize this. Don't worry. You know why? Control is an illusion. Control is an illusion. Who of you, he says, by worrying can add one single hour to your life? Who can add 1 hour to their life? All the, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Who can add 1 hour to their life? I can't. All the effort, all the money, the time, the energy we put into. I mean, we live in this world where, like, the healthcare industry is worth trillions of dollars, right? Between medical and diet stuff and dietary supplements and gyms. And, I mean, we invest trillions of dollars in our health. And then, poof, like that. We can die in a car accident. We can get some debilitating disease. I look back on the history of, like, professional athletes. I think of guys like Lou Gehrig, who was the pinnacle of athleticism in his life, and then all of a sudden he's got Lou Gehrig's disease and he's gone. We are not in control. And this is a hard thing for us as human beings. It's a hard thing for me. I'm a control freak. I like being in control. I want to know that what I did is going to produce the result that thing that I did is supposed to produce, right? It's an illusion. It's an illusion, and this is what Jesus is saying. You can't do this very little thing, he says. You can't do that. So why are you worried about the rest? Why are you can't have one single hour to your life. Why are you worried about food and clothing? And all? It's insanity to do that. I'm not saying, please hear me, because I know what some of you are probably thinking, right? This is what I would think. Well, does that mean I should just, like, not do anything? Not take care of my body? Eat trash? You know, wear rags? Like, who cares about my job? Whatever. Like, no. That's not what he's saying. There's a difference between having concern and being prudent and responsible and worrying about it. There's a difference. And that's for me, and I'm sure it is for you, that's the fine line where I get caught up. Oh, I want to do the right thing. I want to make sure that I'm planning properly. And right. But that very quickly for me turns into worrying about it, getting anxious about it, letting it start to, like, affect me in a negative way. That's all that he is saying. Control what you can control. And we're going to get to that in a second. What is that? What is the thing that we can actually control? Because if we buy into this lie that we actually have any, like, God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Do we understand what that means, right? He has everything all figured out. The plan, the purpose for what he does, it's all figured out already. Yes, I believe we have free will. We get to play a part in that. But at the end of the day, God is going to do what God is going to do, regardless of whether I want it to happen or not. And there's a ton of freedom in that. in giving up that kind of control, right? It's the difference between being on the highway in, you know, crazy rush hour traffic and being the driver and being the person who's in the passenger side. Although, I gotta say, sometimes it's worse being in the passenger side, right? But in general, like, if I could just take a nap in the passenger side and wake up when the heavy traffic is over, I'm good. I'm good now. Because I don't have to be in control. There's a freedom in that. Jesus says, don't buy into the lie that you have any control over what's actually going to happen to you in this life. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. I love this. He says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. He says, yet I tell you, not even Solomon, the richest, wealthiest man who ever lived, in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? He says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. There it is again. Do not worry. He says, you know why you don't have to worry? Because you can trust in his provision. Do you actually trust in your heavenly Father who values you and loves you, who is in control? Do you trust his provision in your life? He says, God clothes the flowers splendidly, I might add. I mean, have you ever looked at some of the unbelievably beautiful plants, flowers that God just, it's like magically, they just come up every spring. They have these beautiful, vibrant colors, right? They are dressed to the nines. More splendidly, he says, than even Solomon, who had enough money to have every piece of clothing in the wardrobe. This is what he says about them. He says, I provide for them. I clothe them. But I love this illustration, this analogy. He says, they're here today, and tomorrow they're thrown into the fire. Now that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense to us today, but again, context is important here. See, back in ancient times, all of the dead flowers, leaves, grass, whatever was dead, they would go and they would round that up and they would throw it in these giant clay ovens and they would use that to fuel the fires that they were using to cook or whatever they were doing with those fires. And so, again, don't miss the illustration that Jesus is giving here. God provided for those flowers and those flowers turned up to be nothing more than worthless fire fuel. That's all they are. They're pretty much worthless after that. He clothes them like that. Don't you think that he will provide for you? Again, coming back to the value. You're so much more valuable than that. He is the great provider. He will provide. And then he calls them out. And this is maybe the most difficult part of this whole passage for me. And my guess is it probably will be for some of you as well. I mean, Jesus goes hard here. Listen to what he says. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? You of little faith. So I think Jesus, he is amazed by two things, it seems, in Scripture more than anything else. He is amazed by great faith, and he is amazed by little faith. And so he has just gotten done explaining to them all of these reasons why there's no reason to worry. God values you, he loves you, he will provide for you, he takes care of you, there's no reason to worry, and yet we are still worried. And yet I am still worried, and yet I still have anxiety. And so he looks at them and he says, you of little faith, to be consumed, and this is just the truth today, to be consumed with worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, is to basically say, God, I do not trust in your provision for my life I do not trust that you have knowledge of my needs, that you have the wisdom to meet those needs, that you have the power or the desire to meet those needs. That's what we're saying when we worry, when we allow worry and anxiety to consume our life. And that is incredibly convicting for me. Because I want to trust God. And I don't think there's a single person in the room, in spite of our struggle with worry and anxiety, who doesn't say, like, I want to trust. I do. I really do. And yet there's this issue, right? We continue to do it over and over again. And so Jesus shared all of that, I believe, to make this last point. He says, the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these will be given to you as well. And so he says, finally, guys, here's the cause of worry, and here is the remedy for it. I've given you kind of the theological basis for why there's no reason to worry. But now let me tell you where your worry is really coming from and what you need to do above all else. And we're going to talk in the rest of this series, we're going to talk about some really practical things that we can do to win this war on worry. But if we don't understand this right here that we're going to talk about today, ain't none of the rest of it going to matter. It's not. So we have to get this. This is a fundamental truth that we must understand. We worry about what we desire. We worry about what we desire, what we want, right? I think we all know this to be true. Here's the reality. I am not worried about whether or not you have enough money in your bank account. And the same goes for you. You're not sitting out there worried right now about whether I have enough money in my bank account, or whether my job is secure, or about my health, right? We are worried about our own stuff. We are worried about the things that we desire. Don't miss this. The things that we set our heart on. That's what we're really worried about. We're worried that the things that we've set our heart on aren't going to come to pass. And then there's this fear that starts to creep in. Oh no, I'm not going to have enough money. I'm not going to get that job. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose this relationship. We just go on and on and on and on, right? The things that we desire, those are the things that we worry about. If I'm constantly worried about my money, it's because I've set my heart on money, right? Make sense? If I'm constantly worried about my job, it's because I've set my heart on my job. If I'm constantly worried about my health, it's because I've set my heart on my health. Jesus says this is what the pagan world does. They run after those things. Their desire is for the things of the world. And this leads to anxiety. This is the primary root, the primary cause of our anxiety, is our deep, deep desire for the things of this world. He uses this terminology, runs after. The Greek word for that is epizeteo. Epizeteo, it means to intensely seek after. Does that not sound like our world today? Does that not sound like maybe your own life? Right, what are those things that you are intensely seeking after in this world? Because for me, here's what happens. I intensely seek those things. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just, you know, building a church, right? And the more I seek after those things, the more I desire those things, the more what happens in me is the fear creeps in that I'm not going to achieve it. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to have it. And I just get more and more anxious. I get more and more worried. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, you can do that. You can chase after. You can desire the things of the world, and you can have higher anxiety. You can have higher worry. Or, that's the root cause. He says you can do something else. He says you can seek first his kingdom. and all this will be added unto you as well. See, this is the truth today. As long as your heart is set on the things of this world, you will always be anxious. You will always be anxious. You can try every remedy that this world and this culture has to offer, but as long as that's the case, you will always be anxious. Jesus says, here's the remedy. Seek first my kingdom. What does that mean? Our focus should not be on money or cars or houses or degrees or anything other than being obedient to our Heavenly Father, seeking to please Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, living an obedient life to Him. And if we will do that, the rest will take care of itself. This is the promise that He makes to us. And that is unbelievably freeing. Oh, so difficult. If it were easy, we'd all be doing it, right? The bottom line is that the more we fixate on this world, the more anxious we'll be. And the more that we fixate on the kingdom, the less anxious we will be. This is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. If you have something to write down, you know, write with today, I encourage you to write this down. The cause of worry is seeking the things of this world. The cause of contentment is seeking the kingdom. It's that simple. And no, it is not simple in practice, but in theory, theologically, this is the heart. The cause of our anxiety, the cause of our worry, it is seeking the things of this world. The remedy, the antidote, the cause of the contentment, the peace that we're actually looking for is seeking the kingdom. Our hearts have to come to a place where our desire for our Heavenly Father and His kingdom, it outweighs anything that we want in this life. That's where we have to get to. When our pursuit and desire of the kingdom becomes greater than our pursuit and desire of the things of this world. I love how Paul puts this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And with this, we're going to get ready to close. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. Again, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk very specifically about practical steps we can take, but we need to understand this. We think anxiety begins in the mind, and it absolutely, I think, kind of rests and lives there. But it starts in our heart. What does he say? Set your heart on things above. It is your heart. This is the control center of your life. This is where our spirit is. And yeah, there is an intimate connection between here and here and all of this. Right? There's a physical thing. We already talked about this. There's a physical thing that happens when we get anxious and worried. It all starts right here. And so what does Paul say? Set your heart on things above. I love that terminology. Set your heart on things above. You want to win the war on worry? You want to beat this thing once and for all? Amen. I do too. I want to beat this thing once and for all. I do not want to go through the rest of my life worrying and being anxious the way that I have for the last year. And I don't want you to either. What Jesus is telling us is it is not going to be found. The answer is not going to be found in the things of this world. In setting our heart on the things of this world. It is going to be found in setting our heart on things above. Focus your heart. Focus, and then he says, focus your mind, right? The mind should follow the heart. Focus your mind on the kingdom instead of this world. Instead of focusing on getting more money in my bank account, and this is just a struggle for me now. Instead of focusing on being seen as successful, whether that's as a pastor or a coach or whatever, focus on the kingdom. Or what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, let's think about two things. The great commandment, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Focus on loving people. Focus on others. Be others focused. It is amazing how that changes the way you feel about what's going on in your own life when you begin to put that focus on other people. Love others. Love your neighbor. How about this one? Just simply the Great Commission, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. Focus on building his kingdom instead of building the kingdom of yourself, instead of building your own kingdom. How about just serving others? The more I serve other people and make them the priority, the less anxious, the less worried I am. To me, that's just the most practical things that we can do. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it's building the kingdom. It's focusing on the kingdom. If you are in Christ, if you have Jesus, and you are struggling with anxiety, this is the foundation for finally winning the war on it. Everything else might help you manage it, but it's never going to get you all the way there. It's not. Again, I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with some of those ways to manage it. Do you want complete freedom from it? This is the answer. Set your heart on things above. And if you do not know Christ today, I'm telling you right now, that's the start. If you are not in relationship with him, that's the start. You want anxiety-free living? You want worry-free living? Starts by knowing that he values you and loves you and will take care of you, that he went to the cross to die for you. And for me, this is what's so, I have to remind myself of this. I believe that Christ was sent into this world, died for my sin, paid the penalty so that I could go to heaven forever, and I don't believe that he can take care of my daily needs? That's crazy. That's insanity. It all starts with Christ. When we enter into relationship with him, and if you're out there today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you want freedom from anxiety and worry, that's the start. Give your life to him. Surrender to him. Repent. Say, I'm a sinner. I know I messed up, but I need you in my life, and I want you from this point forward to take over. Give me the freedom from this anxiety and from this worry. I know there's so many millions of people walking around this world who do not have Christ, and that breaks my heart because they're living in that anxiety and that worry, and they don't have to. And so I'll ask you this question, and we'll close. Can you imagine a world without worry? Can you imagine even a day? Imagine going through a day, one day, without any kind of worry or anxiety. It starts with the Word of God, understanding his truth, understanding his grace for us. Imagine how it would change not only your life, but the world around you. Anxiety begets anxiety. Right, when I'm anxious, it makes my wife anxious. When she's anxious, it makes me anxious, right? It's a revolving door. Imagine how it would change not only your life, but your family, your coworkers, everybody that you come in contact with. As the church, that's my prayer for us, that we would live anxiety, worry-filled lives, that we would win the war on worry, not in our own strength or our own power, but because we've set our hearts on the kingdom and on the things above. Father, we thank you and praise you that it is possible to win the war on worry. God, I ask today that you would give us freedom from it. Remind us when we start to feel the anxiousness creep in, the worry creep in. Remind us that you're in control. You promised to take care of us. You got our backs. You love us. God, I want to remember that daily. Not be distracted by the desires of my heart, setting my heart on the things of this world. God, but just to rest in the fact that all those other things, as you say, if we will set our hearts and our minds on the kingdom, all this will take care of itself. All the rest of this stuff. God, I pray for the people listening or watching today. God, I just pray for a move of your Holy Spirit in their lives today. It's one thing to hear the information, to get the knowledge. It's another thing, God, to just surrender to you, surrender to your control. Lord, today as we leave this place, may we walk out of here feeling the freedom of no worry and no anxiety because we trust in you, because our faith is in you and not in the things of this world. We love you, Jesus. We cannot thank you enough for all that you have done for us and continue to do in our lives. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Would you